بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every one of them and to bless every one of us, and to grant us goodness from the rain that we are receiving, although the wind is quite high. May Allah protect us all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a beautiful recompense to those who may have suffered some damage through the rain that we've had yesterday and perhaps today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make it beneficial rain, that which we desperately need, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make it the rain of punishment. For indeed He has punished previous nations, as we shall see tonight, with the same rain, and He has destroyed them through the rain. It's important that whenever there is rain, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the rain of mercy and not the rain of punishment. My brothers and sisters, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, yesterday I made mention of the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. If you recall, we ended where they had threatened him. And then after so many years, Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam decided to raise his hands, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him and to come between him and his people who had now threatened him. So all along he was very, very patient. He was calling them towards goodness, and he kept on calling them towards goodness. They did not listen to him. Perhaps they tried so many of their tricks in order to perhaps persuade him not to do what he was doing, but he continued. The minute they said, and Allah makes mention of this in Surah 26, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse number 116, قَالُوا لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ يَا نُوحُ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمَرْجُومِينَ. O Nuh, if you are not going to stop calling us towards what you are calling us to, we are going to pelt you. We are going to stone you. At that juncture, he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if I were to take you for a moment to Surah Nuh, which is towards the end of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us more detail of what Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam said to Allah.
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا.
He said, O Allah, I have called my people night and day, but it only chased them further away from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it. He says, O Allah, I called them openly and I called them privately, but they are transgressing, they are going against your command. And O Allah, the children that they are getting are becoming worse than them, O Allah. Now, going back to Surah Ash-Shu'ara, he says,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِي كَذَّبُونَ فَافْتَحْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ فَتْحًا وَنَجِّنِي وَمَنْ مَعِيَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
He says, O Allah, my people have belied me. I want you to create a victory between the two of us. I want you to create an opening between the two, between me and my people. Protect me, save me and those who have believed with me. And they were just a handful. Now remember, when you harm someone, like I said, and I'm going to repeat it because we want to save ourselves. Save yourselves from harming someone, because the after effect of that harm is even more harmful. Remember that. So if you have harmed someone and you've laughed, he who laughs last, they say, laughs the best, right? In actual fact, the day they will have a laugh at us will not be funny at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us through the blessed lips of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتق دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. Be careful of the supplication made against you by he or she whom you have wronged, for indeed there is no barrier between that dua and it being answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No barrier. So this is why sometimes we suffer in our lives, perhaps because we have wronged someone. They might have prayed against us. Be careful. You should be scared. You should be fearful of a dua made against you by someone whom you have wronged. This is why we say, save yourself. Now, sometimes I have people who say, you know, my father cursed me. My mother just curses. My mother-in-law curses. My husband curses. Someone curses and so on. And they curse me all the time. Allah is merciful. Allah knows what is deserving and what is not deserving. If you have not oppressed someone, they just have a habit of cursing. They just have a habit of saying. They have a habit of saying bad words and a bad dua. Some parents, small thing happens. Allah will show you. Allah will this and Allah will that. Rather than that, when something happens, make a dua for your children. Make a good dua. Your child broke the glass. Say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you Jannah. How's that? Subhanallah. Be careful, the next day they'll take another glass to get a dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to curse the child. Sometimes a child makes a mistake, did something wrong. Don't curse, because وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. You know, the evil plot and plan is not deserving except to the one who has planned it. When someone makes a bad plan, the bad plan returns to the same person who made it, if the one whom they made it against does not deserve it. So be careful, sometimes we are cursing ourselves with the du'as we are making against someone else because they don't deserve it, it may come back to us. Remember this. So this is why we say, when someone curses you in an unjustified manner, we are on the road, I didn't do anything wrong, subhanallah, and a man wanted to cut in front of me and so on, he became angry, he became upset, he started swearing and cursing. Whose fault is it? Will that curse be valid? Do you really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, is going to listen to that particular dua and punish me as a result of me having done nothing? No, it won't happen. So even if it is your parents, no matter who it is, no matter who it is, the dua that is against you will only work if it is deserved by you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let that happen to us. Amen, amen. So, this is why he says, رَبِّ نَجِّنِي. He says, oh my Rabb, safeguard me. Safeguard me and those who have believed with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ.
As a result, we safeguarded him and those who believed with him in the ark. Now you know the ark. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was told to build the ark. Something very interesting. I've already said we save ourselves from harming people because the dua is damaging. When Allah grants victory to someone, trust me, even if it does not look like victory, it is victory. When Allah told him to build the ark, Allah told him to build it inland, where the trees were growing, and the trees grew in such a beautiful way that each one fitted. When he dropped one, it fitted where the other one had left, and so on, until the ark was ready. They laughed at him for two reasons. They said, you were a prophet, suddenly you've become a carpenter. We did not know that you were a carpenter. That was one thing. Secondly, they said, you know how mad you are. If you want to build such a huge ark and a huge boat or a ship, it'd rather be closer to the water than right inland. But they did not know this was the instruction of Allah. And from this we learn something. The instruction of Allah makes sense or doesn't. It is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot go wrong. If Allah says fulfill your salah at this time, when there is an eclipse, you fulfill salah. You run for salah. Allah says when there is rain, you make a dua. You make the dua. You don't say, but how come, and so on. You know that if you are convinced that this is the instruction of Allah, it cannot be wrong. The same applies to Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Who laughed last? Subhanallah. Who was successful? Who was victorious? And who was saved? Wasn't it Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this to us. And Allah says, ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا بَعْدُ الْبَاقِينَ. Then we caused the drowning of the rest who remained. Allah destroyed them completely. They did not listen to the messengers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who seek forgiveness. May He make us from those who obey the instructions of the messengers, that which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one more point I want to draw before we continue. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam had a son. That son of his refused to listen to his dad. He had his own friends, he had his own circle, and he did not believe. When the punishment started coming, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam felt within him, let me call my son, that's my son. So he says, oh my son, come with us. Irkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Oh my son, come and ride with us. Come into the ship, come into the ark with us. Don't be with those who have disbelieved. So the son says, no, today I'm going to climb the mountain. I'm going to climb the mountain, I will be saved. Subhanallah. Sa'awi ila jabal ya'simuni min al-ma'. I'm going to climb to the top of the mount and it will save me from the water. But subhanallah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his son,
لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم.
There will be nobody who shall be saved from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except he whom Allah has had mercy upon. And while they were talking, the wave came between them and he was gone. Now it hurt Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. My brothers and sisters, from this we learn something. We will try our best to give our children the best upbringing. It is our duty. As they are born, we give them a good name, we give them a good upbringing, we try our best. We need to save ourselves and our offspring from hellfire by teaching them what life is all about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا.
Save yourselves and your family members from the fire. Indeed, but we try our best. As the children are young, we choose good schools for them. We try and get them education. We try and teach them the Quran. We teach them Allah's instruction. As they grow older, subhanallah, they get to an age where sometimes we have no say over them. You know, the control we have over our children diminishes as time passes. When they were little, we decided everything for them, including their name and what they would wear and what they would eat. As they grew older, they decided what they wanted to wear. And they chose what they wanted to eat. And they made tantrums at the age of 3 and 4 and 2 because they did not want to eat what we gave them. Look at how Allah is taking away the control that He gave you over your child, slowly but surely. And as the child grows older, they refuse some of the toys that we buy for them. They want something more sophisticated. They become more and more complex. And then they refuse to go to the college that we have chosen for them. And ultimately they refuse to marry the person we are trying to tell them to marry. You know, before, father used to say, son, I found someone for you. Son used to say, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Today, son, found someone for you. Dad, I already found someone before you did. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. This is life and this is how things are. So we need to guide the children how to choose a spouse, because they need to know that when you get into high school, you don't go into high school to look for a spouse, but rather you go in order to study. Subhanallah. When you go into university, subhanallah, you go there to work. You should be focused. Yes, if you do happen to come across someone, your parents should be the first people that you communicate with. The problem is the parents do not translate that information in the correct way. They don't process it in the correct way. Your son, your daughter comes to you and says, you know what, I've gone to the university, I met someone. It doesn't mean that they've done something wrong already. Your relationship should be such that at the beginning of that particular relationship, they've already told you. Not after they are stuck in there, and after they have got to a point of no return, then they come to the father, dad, you know what, I've got a problem. Or they are so scared to even tell you because there is no communication between you. That is not acceptable. The world has changed. You have to understand this. You need to communicate from the beginning. And when the news comes to you, go back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Subhanallah. Simple instruction. If a proposal has come to you from someone, two things are okay in them, let it happen. Who is saying this? Your Lord, subhanallah. He's telling you through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's instructing you what to do with your children. A lot of us, nope, not interested. Finish your degree. Okay. Finish your degree is good enough. But I want to tell you the repercussion sometimes. We are encouraging sometimes adultery, fornication, zina in a hyper-sexualized community whereby abortion upon abortion is happening and the parents don't even know. And the children have already done whatever they was to do. And the parents are still saying, I don't want you to get married. What was so difficult in getting a nikah done? Who on earth said that it is compulsory for the two to live together after they are married? That's just a cultural thing. It's got nothing to do with religion. Religion, you can be married in nikah and you haven't lived together in the same home. But your relationship is halal. Remember this. Islam is simple. The day they are able to come together, when they are 20, 25, whenever, then mashallah you can help them to come together. But if they want to get married at 20, what's wrong? What is wrong with that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that a nikah is something simple. The two families can come together and at least the relationship will be halal. Are we bothered more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or are we worried about our dignity? Another very big disaster is where people say, what will others say? What are others going to say? I need to have a big wedding. You don't need to have a big wedding. You have something simple. The hadith says the one with most barakah is the simplest one. So have simple functions. Make it easy when
when others see you, they will learn from you. You have set an example. How many boys and girls in a lot of our homes, you will be shocked if it's in your home, they are suffering and they would love that you listened to what I had to say tonight. Subhanallah. Because we know what's going on. And we know the solutions provided by Allah and His Rasul. The problem is, we still want to stick to that which is creating disaster in society. Why does adab of Allah come? Why does punishment of Allah come? Because not only are we committing sin, but we are putting others in such a corner that we are forcing them to commit sin. There's no other option. Astaghfirullah. Society has become so sinful, if I may put it that way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. It's a month of reflection. Ponder over what I've said. If you have a situation in your home, please think about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. I may not know your particular situation. I am giving you the general advice from that of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please follow it. You will succeed in life. If someone has come, they would like to get married, make it easy for them. Don't make it difficult, subhanallah. So, the relationship between father and child, mother and child should be such that when a problem happens, the first person that they rush to is one of the two parents. And then process that information in a way that you don't chase them away. A son comes and tells you, you know what, I bashed the car. Okay? Now, when that son says, I bashed the car, you may have to process it in a way. You might be upset for a while, but you cannot start whipping him to the degree that the next time the car is written off, he pretends like it was stolen and it creates a bigger problem because he's too shy to tell you what he did the second time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and our children. Amen. So this is just an example. My brothers and sisters, in the same way, many children make lots of mistakes. But trust me, haven't we all made different types of mistakes when we were growing up? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for every one of us. Ameen. So, the reason I make mention of this is because Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, it was his son. It does not mean that a saint's son will also be a saint. It does not mean that a prophet's son will also be a prophet. May Allah bless every one of us. It does not mean you see a pious man, so his children are pious. A long time ago, how they used to marry, they used to say, this is a good home, so get married in this home. Because they would presume that if the parents are decent people, the children are also decent. Today, the tables are turned. You can have parents who are decent and the child is not decent at all. And you can have parents who have a bad reputation, but the child is a gem and a diamond. Remember this. This is happening in society because the world has gone upside down, as you know. People are now brought up by the phones. People are brought up by social media circles. And they are learning from the internet. They change their lives. May Allah make us from those who can use technology in a way that will result in goodness and in the service of society and community in a way that we can enter Jannatul Firdaus by serving Allah too. Ameen. So, this is Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Let's move on. The next prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, there are quite a few, one after the other in Surah Al-Shu'ara. But a very interesting point, Ad, the people of Ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them Hud alayhi salatu wassalam. And Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. All of the messengers, the same statement. Their brother told them, will you not be conscious of Allah? Will you not be conscious of Allah? Will you not fear Allah? Will you not worship Allah alone? Inni lakum rasulun amin. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. I am indeed a messenger of Allah. Clear cut. So fear Allah and follow me. I will lead you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing that is made mention of in Surah Al-Shu'ara, that all the prophets made clear, they don't take money. Subhanallah. They don't take money for what they are giving. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am not asking you to give me a recompense or to pay me for what I am teaching you in terms of that which Allah has asked me to do. My reward is with Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen. He will bestow upon me the favor. Now, what we learn from this is, some people say, and we need to strike a balance. We need to strike a balance. Some people say that the imams that lead us should not be paid. Well, I want to tell you they are not prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they were, it would have been wrong to pay them. Because according to the Quran, the prophets are the ones who said, we don't want payment. But these are human beings. It should be an honor to look after them. It should be an honor to ensure that they are living comfortably so that they can dedicate their lives to study and to teach the deen. How many of the teachers of the Quran, how many of the teachers of Islamic studies are struggling when it comes to their day-to-day lives? And I've spoken about this, I think, the first or second day of Ramadan, where we said that they struggle and we are sitting believing that they should be struggling. Why? Because the prophets struggled as well. Well, that is so unfair, subhanallah, so unfair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. That having been said, whenever we do have an Islamic program, I usually encourage people to say, make it free for everybody to attend. But we have a problem. We know that yes, if it is in the masjid, it can be free. If it is perhaps in a place where it is allowed, it will be free. Someone has catered for it, it will be free. But nowadays, sometimes we have to hire a venue. Especially in a lot of the Western countries where they need a venue and it costs money. So if it costs money, where are you going to get it from? If we had a few donors who came up and said, right, 20,000 from me, 50,000 from me, it would be free for everyone. The reward would go to them, subhanallah. But the difficulty is, that doesn't happen. When it comes to Bollywood and Hollywood and all the other things of the dunya, materialistic items, people are ready to pay so much in order to get the front table, in order to get a VIP seat, football and so on. When it comes to the deen, it becomes a little bit difficult. Because now shaitan starts massaging your pocket, you know. And you start thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to pay. It should be free. This is Islam. Why is it charged? Well, who is going to cough up the cost of holding this whole event? The cost, not more. So if you were to divide the cost into the 1,000 people that are going to attend, and each one is paying $10 or 100 rands or 200 rands, what is wrong? What is wrong? Why make the big deal about it? They would never have charged you had someone sponsored the entire event. But I do believe that it is wrong to make a killing out of Islamic events, and that seems to be happening sometimes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So, to cover the costs, yes. To be able to perhaps make a bit of money so that the Islamic events can perhaps progress, yes. But by all means, let us try and donate rather than make it difficult for them so that they need to charge the public. And I'm so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this country it's still quite less. But trust me, I've traveled far and wide, and some countries they cannot host an Islamic event unless they charge everyone perhaps £10 or £15 because of the spiraling costs of hiring the hall or the venue. And sometimes the masajid may not allow big events because they are small in some of the countries. They don't cater for so many people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors and grant us ease and goodness. So that's the point we derived from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the Prophet said, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. I am not asking you for what I have conveyed to you. Any recompense, subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of something very interesting. You see, all of these people, let me take a look at all of them, one by one. The people of Ad, right? The people of Thamud. The people of Lut, alayhi salatu wassalam. The people of Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wassalam. The people of Nuh, before them. Each one of them sent a messenger. The messenger came to them. He warned them. He reminded them. He told them not to engage in whatever they were engaging in. Let's take a look quickly at what they were engaging in. Primarily transgression by worshipping against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or worshipping deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were called towards worshipping Allah alone. Secondly, they were involved in worldly items to the degree of transgression. Take a look at Lut alayhi salam. His people were involved in immorality. Take a look at the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. They were cheating each other in business. Take a look at the people, for example, of Ad and so on. They were so deeply involved in the luxurious living through the mountains and so on. They used to kill at will and they didn't even bother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after each one of them received a warning, then Allah says, we destroyed them. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ. Like the people of Ad, verse number 139, Allah says, they belied him, so we destroyed them. Similarly, when it comes to the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his people, when he instructed them to stop the immoral behavior they were engaging in, what happened? They said, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ يَا لُوطُ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ. Similar words to that of the people of Nuh alayhi salam. Like they studied in one university, right? They said similar words. They said, if you do not stop saying what you are telling us to do, if you do not stop telling us to stop our immorality and immoral behavior, then we're going to kick you out of this place. That was very interesting. Because Allah was waiting for Lut alayhi salam to leave before He destroyed the rest who were remaining. So when they said, we're going to kick you out, Allah says, no, we will take him out, then we'll destroy you. Subhanallah. So sometimes when you are kicking someone out of a place, perhaps it could be that that person is the last pious person around, so now that they are out, the punishment is deserved. It could be. Look, that's what happened here at the time of Lut alayhi salam. One man was told, we're going to drive you out. Well, he was driven out with his family. In fact, he was given the instruction of Allah to leave. Then he left. When he left, the punishment came before the morning. What type of punishment? Allah says, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. We caused a heavy rainfall to fall. The punishment of the people of Lut alayhi salam came in so many different ways according to the Quran. We caused a heavy rainfall to fall, and the stones fell from the skies, and so on. And Allah says, a very bad scene was made of those who were warned. They were warned. Now the same applies to the people of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we destroyed them. What were they doing? They were also involved in crime. When it came to business, they were cheating. They were conniving. They were shortchanging the people. Allah says, we destroyed them as a result. We allowed them to have a little bit, then we destroyed them. Now, something very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in verse number 208 of Surah An-Naml, after he makes mention of the stories of the prophets, now he's telling the people of Quraysh, and obviously the lesson is for all of us. Allah says, وَمَا أَهْلَكْنَا مِن قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا لَهَا مُنذِرُونَ ذِكْرًا وَمَا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. We have never destroyed a town. Never. We have never destroyed any of the people until we sent to them a warner, warning them and reminding them. And when they belied the warner, that's when we gave them a chance. And after we gave them the chance, that's when we destroyed them. So Allah will not punish someone before giving him or her a warning. My brothers and sisters, in our lives, we have so many warnings. We have warnings from people around us. We have warnings from revelation. We have warnings from health matters, from a few struggles we have, from the weather conditions, from what's going on across the globe. So many warnings that lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we still don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have only ourselves to blame. We have only ourselves to blame. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, lay your trust in Allah. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. If you don't want to be attacked by shaitan, you need to lay your full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most powerful, the most merciful. My brothers and sisters, we lay our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't want the devil to affect you, because the devil comes to everyone. The devil comes in so many different ways. Sometimes the jinn come and contaminate man. And sometimes the devil whispers and makes man dilly-dally from the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very next verse, 217. In fact, 221. هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ تَنَزَّلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Should we inform you upon whom the devils descend? تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. The devils and the shayateen, the jinn, they descend and affect and harm those who are sinful, and they are liars. Sinful liars, people who are far away from Allah. That is whom the devil comes to attack. If you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will safeguard you. Inshallah, towards the end of Ramadan, we will be going through the last few surahs of the Quran, which have in them protection from the devil. These are verses that should be read on a daily basis, the last two surahs of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter, after telling us that, you know what, if you are close to Allah, you will be saved from the devil. And you will be saved from his whisperings, meaning the devil's whisperings. Then Allah speaks about the poets. The poets whom I spoke about at the beginning of Surah Ash-Shu'ara. Allah says, وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ. These poets, it's only the deviated who follow them. Don't you see that they are speaking and, you know, saying their poetry regarding anything and everything? But they will all be in hellfire besides those who believe and do good deeds. Which means if Allah has given you a gift, use that gift in the right direction. If you don't, you have yourself to blame. If Allah has given you any gift, make sure you are from amongst the believers who uses this gift to defend the deen. You uses this gift to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that way we will be able to earn the pleasure of Allah.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا.
The exception is for those who believe and do good deeds and remember Allah a lot. Allah says, for them will indeed be a blessed abode.